This is our first ever Box to Row podcast. I'm your host, Donald Ware. We're talking some Aggie Eagle, and it's a big-time football game on Saturday in Durham at O'Kelly Riddick Stadium on the campus of North Carolina Central. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the first time that a game will decide the MEAC championship since 2000 when Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M met in the Florida Classic. The MEAC does not have a championship game, but Saturday's game will serve as the championship game. And on the line, we are joined by Jonas Pope, who covers the Eagles for the Herald Sun in Durham. Jonas, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be part of, what did you say, your first podcast? That's pretty exciting.
Yes, the very first podcast. As you know, we do the show. We've been doing that for 11 years. But we're getting into the podcast deal, especially with such a big event. So we're glad to have you on. And I want to start here because both of these football teams are hot. But, of course, you cover North Carolina Central. I want to get your thoughts on NCCU this season. They've won 8 straight ball games.
Yeah, you know, going into the year, they started out 0-2 against, Duke and Western Michigan, some pretty heavy hitters in college football. Well, Power 5, well, Duke's Power 5, but two big-time programs. Western Michigan's now ranked in the top 25. But they knew those games to prepare them for the MEAC run. And, you know, once they played St. Aug in that 39 conference game, and then once they got into the MEAC play, everything was a build-up or was a tune-up for this game that's going to be played tomorrow. You know, they, dating back to fall practice, all they talked about was winning the MEAC outright. You know, they didn't care that if it came down to A&T in the last game. All they knew was they wanted to take care of their, you know, have their destiny in their own hands, control their own destiny, and win every game. And it just so happens that here we are now, last week of the season, MEAC championship on the line against their rivals. You know, this is the game that everybody wanted. But for Central, it just didn't matter to them. They just want to be able to control their own destiny and not share a championship this year. Each week, they got their opponent's best shot. You know, they had some games that were probably a lot closer than people thought they would be. But each week, they found a way to win. And here we are now, the game that everybody wanted for the championship.
Jonas, I think it's a great point. And I want to elaborate on that because my next question to you was going to be, and I know it doesn't mean much because, I mean, if you go back to 2014, you could argue, or one could argue, that A&T had the more talented team. Central found a way to win last year, up in the air in terms of talent, but certainly Central won that game. And I look at the scores, Norfolk State 34-31. A&T beat Norfolk State 35-0. Florida A&M 17-13. The Aggies beat Florida. I can't even remember the score, but they blew them out. So on and so forth with a lot of these games. Howard much closer. Does that mean anything coming into this rivalry game?
I don't think so, mainly because it's a rivalry game. You know, it's easy for some people, you know, outsiders to look at it and say on paper, wow, you know, A&T really dominated these teams. So that must mean they're light years ahead of Central. But I like to look at it as, you know, Central faced some adversity that maybe A&T hasn't faced. You know, Central's been down. They've been down a starting quarterback. You know, they've trailed at halftime, trailed in the fourth quarter, and had to find ways to win as opposed to A&T just cruised over everybody. I think Central has, you know, they faced more adversity, had more character-testing ball games. But at the end of the day, when you put these two teams on the same field with identical records, bitter rivalries, none of that matters. All that matters is these four quarters that's left in the season for these guys tomorrow.
Jonas Pope is the beat writer for North Carolina Central. He covers them for the Herald Sun in Durham. He joins us on our Box to Row podcast show as we get you set for the Aggie-Eagle rivalry that will, in fact, decide the MEAC championship. Malcolm Bell, Jonas, when you look at his numbers, really much better than they were last year. Why has he been so much better this year as opposed to last year?
Well, a couple of things. With his passing numbers, he has a healthy core of receivers. You know, last year they were down a couple of guys. They got Quinn Axon back this year. They got Khalil Stinson back this year. Both of those guys are seniors. They got a big production for Levante Smith, who led the receivers last year when everybody else went down. So he has you know, more talent around him, better weapons around him this year. And then he's just a senior. You know, he's more comfortable in the system. He's been around for a long time. There's not a whole lot that a defense can throw at him that he hasn't seen before. he's been dangerous with his legs. The offensive line has protected him a lot better. You know, and his weapons have helped him open up other things with his arm. You know, when other teams are trying to load the box and stop the run, he can pick them apart with his arms. And then when they're trying to, you know, cover those receivers, and Malcolm Bell can take off and run. I think it's just a combination of having better talent around him this year and just him being more comfortable and just knowing what to do and just being around for so long. He knows what to do with the ball, and he's definitely that playmaker who's comfortable in any situation.
You know, I think a lot of times numbers don't always tell the story, but how much of a concern are the 11 interceptions this year?
I think Malcolm would tell you, he would admit to you himself that some of those passes were him just trying to make a play and trying to force some balls some places that he probably shouldn't have. Watching Central live most of the season, a few of those interceptions I can't contest were like should have been caught. You know, receivers, it bounced off their hands. Or, you know, I remember one in particular, he threw up a jump ball and the defender just kind of wrestled it away from his receiver in a one-on-one situation. Malcolm would tell you some of them, you know, were just bad passes, and Malcolm would tell you, you know, he wishes he could take those back. It is a concern. It's a pretty high number because Central has had a habit of turning the ball over at some crucial times this season. But, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about it because, like I said, Malcolm would admit that some of those he was just trying to make a play, trying to force the ball and get somebody involved in the game.
Last year, when you look at the running game and coming particularly into this matchup, Darrell McClain was the guy, and of course, he ran roughshod through A&T's defense, 167 yards. The guy maybe this year coming into the game, Ramon Simpson, 5.2 yards per carry, 615 yards on the season. He's a redshirt sophomore. What does Simpson bring to this running attack? And you got to figure McClain is going to be part of this running attack also on tomorrow, even though he's been injured throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, I mean, Ramon has just stepped up. You know, Darrell got injured early in the season. Ramon stepped into the starting spot and hasn't looked back. You know, Darrell, he didn't play last week, but he will be available tomorrow. What Ramon brings to the table, he's not a big guy. He's probably about 180, 5'8", 5'9", not a big guy at all. He's one of those guys, he's tougher than people think. You know, he can definitely run in between the tackles. What impresses me about Ramon is when he gets the ball, he can make the first guy miss in a very tight spot. And then he's small enough he can duck and slide between those big linemen in those creases and just battle for the extra yards. But what he really brings to the table, a lot of people really don't talk about, he can really catch the ball out of the backfield. Ramon actually played slot receiver a little bit in high school, and they tried him out at slot receiver. The Central really didn't work, but he's been in the backfield. But like I said, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a dangerous threat as a receiver. He can really make guys miss in very tight spaces. He runs for tough yards to be a guy who's so small in stature.
Again, Jonas Pope covers the North Carolina Central Eagles for the Herald Sun in Durham. He joins us on our first ever Box to Row podcast. Defensively, looks like a really good defense. What's the concern? Because if you look at the number, and again, numbers don't always tell the story, and especially the fact that the Eagles play two FBS opponents in Duke and Western Michigan. What's the concern that the Eagles are giving up 167 yards on the ground and the A&T has a running back like Tariq Cohen?
Yeah, it's so funny that the last couple of weeks that they have given some big plays to some teams to you like, wow, I really didn't see that coming. You know, they haven't battled injuries. They're pretty healthy. It's just that, you know, teams have just found a way to attack them early. And I think that's key when I say attack them early, because for 8 straight games, Central hasn't allowed a point in the third quarter for 8 straight games. So once they make those adjustments, they found ways, you know, whether it was filling a gap or somebody was lined up in the wrong spot pre-snap read. That's what's been giving them those big runs. Teams have had those big runs and got chunks of yards early, but once they make those adjustments, they've been able to come back in the third quarter and just really kind of shut guys down. Now, taking Tariq Cohen, you know, I don't think they're going to have that same success and just kind of keep them bottled up for an entire ballgame like they have done, or entire second half like they've done some teams. But it's just been mainly just coming out early, teams have, you know, attacking them one way. The coaches make the adjustment, and the guys have been able to shut, you know, for the most part, shut guys down in the second half. this season. That's why you see those big numbers, because a lot of those numbers have come from big runs or big games that teams have found against that defense in the first half. But once they make those adjustments, it's been hard to move the ball to get that defense front.
From what you've seen maybe from A&T on TV and just in your study and preparing for your preview for this game, what are your thoughts on the Aggies?
What can I say? Well, I mean, obviously it starts with Tariq Cohen. He's definitely the most dynamic football player I've seen on television this year. Coach Mack said he's the most dynamic player he's ever seen with his own two eyes. He's a little tough guy, runs between tackles, makes big plays. But I think the biggest difference this year with A&T offensively, they have a passing game. You know, Keys is out there. He's been a big play receiver for a long time. But this year they have a quarterback who can actually make some plays through the air. So that makes them, you know, you pick your poison this year with A&T, whereas in the past, you knew what you were going to get from Cohen, but you weren't so sure what you were going to get from the passing game. This year, A&T is way more balanced on offense, so that provides a way bigger challenge for the North Carolina Central defense.
What are some of the matchups we need to look for here? When you look at the two teams, and especially the numbers, they're generally 1-2 when you look at all of the numbers. Well, what are some of the key matchups in this football game?
Well, I think it goes back to the North Carolina A&T running game versus the North Carolina Central defensive front. You know, the strength of the Eagles defense is their front seven, particularly their defensive line, where they're all veteran. They're all veterans. They're all guys who play a lot of football. If they can win the battle at the line of scrimmage, and I'm not going to say stop Tariq Cohen, but they can just kind of limit those big plays, that's going to be key to watch this weekend. And also, when you look at A&T's receivers, you know, I mentioned Keys earlier. You know, if we can get some matchups with Keys and Mike Jones, you know, over there at North Carolina Central, that's going to be some good matchups to watch all day. Two high-quality players. And then, you know, A&T, if they do have a weakness, quote-unquote weakness defensively, it has been their pass defense. And, you know, I've been saying this all year that North Carolina Central has the best group of wide receivers in the MEAC, and then have Malcolm Bell at quarterback. So if you want to put the Central passing offense against the A&T pass defense and see if they can hold up for four quarters, that's going to be a good matchup to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, especially I know everybody knows about Levante Smith. I really like this kid, Jalen Wilkes, out of Greenville, yeah. who was part of their outstanding recruiting class a couple of years ago that we ranked the top recruiting class. So last two thoughts. The Eagles win if?
The Eagles win if they do not turn the ball over. You know, we talked about it earlier, the 11 interceptions, but they've had some fumbles at some really bad times here lately. And if they cut the penalties down, they have a habit for getting some, you know, questionable penalties at some bad times. So if they don't turn the ball over, if they take care of the flags, the Eagles win the game.
And the Aggies win if?
The Aggies win if they can dominate the line of scrimmage offensively. They can, you know, push that Central defense back. If Cohen can get behind his blockers and get some big runs, the Aggies will win this game.
Jonas Pope, he covers the Eagles, the North Carolina Central Eagles, that is, for the Herald Sun in Durham. As a matter of fact, Jonas, how can we follow you on Twitter?
My Twitter name is J.E. Pope the Fourth. That's a capital J-E-P. Everything else is lowercase and a capital I, capital V.
Follow him, guys. He does an outstanding job. He joins us here on our first ever Box to Row podcast show featuring the Aggie Eagle rivalry for the MEAC Championship. Jonas, we appreciate the time, man. See you on Saturday.
All right, man. See you tomorrow.